Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about rock and roll music from such sources as the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, The Independent, New York Times, Rolling Stone Magazine, and Entertainment Weekly. Suddenly you find yourself alone. This opening number, Half a Minute, is brought to us by Baja. We'll be hearing more about and from Baja later on in today's program. But first, these trivia questions. Our trivia questions come to us today from www.classicbands.com. Question number one, the original back album cover of the Wings album, Red Rose Speedway, contained a Braille message to Stevie Wonder that said, A, we love you, baby, B, welcome back, C, you are the sunshine of our lives, or D, all of the above. Hint, this 1973 album by Paul and Linda McCartney's band reached number one on the Billboard charts and included Paul's love song to Linda, My Love, which went on to be number one on the charts in the U.S. Question number two. The Chipmunk song by David Seville and the Chipmunks rose to number one on the Billboard pop charts back in 1958, where it stayed for 4 weeks. When the song was first introduced a short time earlier, on American Bandstand, it A, received a standing ovation, B, received the lowest rating in the history of American Bandstand, C, rated low because it was hard to dance to, or D, all of the above. Hint here, here's a snippet from that 1958 hit. What kind of reception did this song get on American Bandstand? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. The transition section of today's program is brought to us by BGORecords.com. Today in rock history, and today is the weekend of January 29 and 30th. 2011. Number one hits this weekend? Well, back half a century ago this weekend, it was the Shirelles at number one with Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow. And back in 1964 this weekend, it was the Searchers with Needles and Pins at number one. And back in 69, 5 years later, it was Fleetwood Mac, Albatross. 40 years ago this weekend, it was George Harrison at number one with My Sweet Lord. Back in 1972, it was various artists doing the concert for Bangladesh at number one. And back in 1983, Men at Work, Down Under was number one this weekend. 1988, Tiffany, I Think We're Alone Now was number one this weekend. And finally, 1999, Britney Spears, Baby One More Time was number one this weekend. If you were born on January 29, you share a birthday with Tommy Ramone of the Ramones. He was born on January 29, 1949. Or if you were born on January 30, you share a B-Day with Joe Terranova of Danny and the Juniors. He was born on January 30th, 1941. Phil Collins was also born on January 30th, Genesis, from 1951. Miscellany in rock history this weekend. Well, back in 1956, Elvis Presley records Blue Suede Shoes at the RCA Studios. And back in 1960, it was Bobby Darin's Beyond the Sea hitting the charts this weekend. Back in 1962, 2 years later, Peter, Paul, and Mary signed with Warner Brothers. Back in 1966, it was Bobby Fuller hitting the charts with I Fought the Law. That was their only number one hit. Back in 67, a year later, The Who and Jimi Hendrix play tribute concert to Brian Epstein. Back in 69, Beatles film and record Get Back on the roof of Apple Building in London. Back in 74, Greg Lake of ELP is arrested for swimming nude in a Salt Lake City hotel pool, clearly visible from the street. And back 5 years after that, in 1979 this weekend, it was Emerson, Lake & Palmer disbanding following a financial disastrous U.S. tour. And finally, back in 1996, Garth Brooks says that Hootie and the Blowfish, this is a group with local connections, by the way, have done more for music that year, 96, than he did, so he refuses to accept his American Music Award for Favorite Overall Artist. This next article, A Swift End to the Year, is brought to us by Daily Variety. This was published on the 30th of December, 2010, and was written by Christopher Morris. Speak tops the final week. Taylor Swift closes out the year atop the U.S. album chart as Speak Now held steady at number one. The country pop vocalist Big Machine album maintained its lock on the apex with a 276,000 unit sales week and a 7% gain according to Nielsen SoundScan figures for the week ended Sunday. Despite a burst of sales at year's end, Swift will have to be satisfied with the number three release of 2010. Her total of 2.9 million trails that of Eminem's Recovery, 3.3 million, and Lady Antebellum's Need to Now at 3 million. The rest of the top five belong to Sony Music Entertainment. Susan Boyle's The Gift, Columbia, dethroned by Swift's set last week, retained its number two position with 240,000 sold. That's off 6%.
So this is me swallowing my pride, standing in front of you saying I'm sorry for that night. And I go back to December all the time. It turns out freedom ain't nothing but missing you, wishing I'd realized what I had in you in mind. I go back to December, turn around and make it all right.
Taylor Swift. This next article is brought to us by Newsweek, and it was published on the 24th of January, 2011, by Jenny Yarbroff. Entitled, And If Autism Were a Song, It Might Sound Like This. In Wretches and Jabberers, we see Chami, a Sri Lankan man with autism, typing that it is killingly hard to figure out why he sometimes cannot control his body. A few scenes later, the singer Anthony of Anthony and the Johnsons sings a lament about how it is killingly hard to say how I feel. It's killingly hard to move towards the real. The song could be about anyone struggling to be understood, but because we've seen the source of the lyrics, it has a specific as well as generalized meaning, fitting for a film that is all about language and communication. The music for Wretches and Jabberers was written by composer and musicians J. Ralph, who scored the Academy Award-winning documentaries The Cove and Man on Wire. After watching the film, Ralph asked his musician friends to collaborate on the soundtrack. The catch was they couldn't hear the songs first. Ralph wanted to capture the musicians discovering the music in the same way the subjects of the film discover language, as they learn to type and communicate. Several of the songs borrow the phrases of the film's subjects for their lyrics. With this project, words were crucial because these people never had their own words, Ralph says. In addition to Anthony, musicians including Nora Jones, Carly Simon, Bob Weir, and Ben Harper contributed to the project. Almost everybody involved knew somebody with autism, says Ralph. I have friends that are on the spectrum, but for me, this film is about basic human rights, including the right to be heard, even when the process is killingly hard. This next article was published in the Smithsonian Magazine from February 2011, and it's written by Richard Middleton. It's entitled, Together at Last, Doris Day, Miles Davis, and Devo Share the Stage. I still listen to my old vinyl LPs and keep them sorted alphabetically. This apparent order has spawned an unexpected randomness, bringing together musicians who probably never met and likely would have been at each other's throats if they had. Here on my shelves, though, they nestle beside each other like old friends. Eccentric jazz genius Thelonious Monk and prefab pop meisters, the Monkees, country diva Patsy Cline and Jamaican reggae star Jimmy Cliff, and, one of my favorites, lean, mean trumpeter Miles Davis and girl next door songbird Doris Day. Another favorite, Pete Seeger and the Sex Pistols. Imagine the fireworks unleashed if the patron saint of the modern folk music revival, the man who soothed audiences with We Shall Overcome, ever met the strung-out vulgar lads who brought us anarchy in the UK. Then again, they might have more in common than you might think. Given Seeger's biting criticisms of commercial music and the Sex Pistols' sardonic send-up of the business, the great rock and roll swindle, isn't there at least some basis for discussion? Even mutual respect? Or better yet, collaboration? Indeed, imagine these scintillating duos that, alas, will never be. Frank Sinatra and the Singing Nun, Judy Collins and John Coltrane, Woody Herman and Jimi Hendrix. Here's an act that could have been huge, Ray Charles and Maurice Chevalier. I can just hear Ray and Moe trading phrases on Thank Heaven for Little Girls, or harmonizing on a Paris Cafe version of Georgia on My Mind. Things heat up when the neighbors drop by. Pete and the Pistols are joined by sitar virtuoso Ravi Shankar. Old Blue Eyes and the Singing Nun get funky with Sly and the Family Stone, and Miles and Doris are sitting in later with Impressionist composer Claude Debussy and New Wave pop-punk Devo for an all-night jam session you don't want to miss. Then there's the spoken word. Robert Frost reads Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening, accompanied by the edgy electronica of guitar whiz Robert Fripp, and beloved British actor Maurice Evans reads Winnie the Pooh, backed by the 70s glam rock fusion of the Edgar Winter Group. This could be a major multimedia event. But in this age of high-tech marvels, can't we do more than dream? If Natalie Cole can sing Unforgettable as a duet with her deceased dad, then surely Janis Joplin can reign again as the lead singer for those masters of musical satire, Spike Jones and his City Slickers. If DNA can be spliced and barnyard critters cloned, surely the genetic genius of Russian composer Sergei Prokofiev and Elvis Presley can be combined into something greater than the sum of its parts. I can only offer the vision some other more capable and fearless soul will have to bring it to life. Music lovers everywhere in the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences await your efforts. Now, where's my autographed copy of An Evening with Judy Garland and Marvin Gaye? It should be right here.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Father, Father. Marvin Gaye. So what do you know about this artist today, Baja? Well, according to this article by www.tumblr.com, MichaelEliot.tv.com, plus www.musicianguide.com, Michael E. Mueller, we see the following about... Well, she was born on the 30th of September, 1959, in Poland, Jaworzno, Poland. Her birth name is Barbara Trzeszczuk, and she goes by Baja, of course. Baja is a jazz pop singer from London, although she's originally from Poland, and Baja is her performing name. Baja grew up in the southern Polish industrial city of Jaworzno, where her parents ran an ice cream enterprise. She was influenced early by recordings of various American artists. "I was hungry for everything," she told Abrams. Among her favorites were Aretha Franklin's greatest hits. She also listened to Stevie Wonder, Carole King, James Taylor, Pink Floyd, and King Crimson. At 15, Baja won a national talent contest and joined an all-girl group named Ali Babka, which toured Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union for 2 years. Her vocal talents led her to try her hand at performing in the Chicago area, although nothing substantial came from that early trip. After moving to London in 1981, she joined the group that eventually became known as Matt Bianco, named for a fictional spy character that the band members created. The group's debut album, Whose Side Are You On?, 1984, went gold in the UK. It included the hits Get Out of Your Lazy Bed and Half a Minute, which opened today's program, by the way, the latter of which featured Baja's vocals. Baja and Danny White left vocalist Mark Riley and the rest of the band behind to forge ahead on their own under the name Baja. They met with immediate success. Baja's first solo album, Time and Tide, in 1987, was certified platinum. New Day for You and the title track, Time and Tide, garnered airplay on adult contemporary, jazz, and college radio stations in the U.S. Mostly original selections featured musical influences as diverse as bossa nova, 1980s new wave, upbeat jazz, and adult contemporary pop. Baja's second album, London, Warsaw, New York, 1990, also went platinum. Cruisin' for Bruisin' became a hit, and the video gained some airplay on VH1. The synth bass sounds were toned down this time, and the lyrics took on a more personal tone. Many fans assumed that one of the primary topics was the romantic relationship between Baja and Danny White. The follow-up album, The Sweetest Illusion, 1994, took a more expansive foray into Baja's jazz roots on songs like An Olive Tree, Drunk on Love, and More Fire Than Flame, were more hard-charging than much of her earlier work, though there were also several ballads on the album. The lyrics continued to be of a very personal nature. The album was successful, although it did not sell as many units as the first two did. The next year, she released a live album, Baja on Broadway. In the following years, Baja had very limited public exposure. She recorded 4 new songs for the 1998 Greatest Hits album, Clear Horizon, The Best of Baja. She also recorded a song on a Spyro Gyra album. She would later explain that the death of her mother and the wars around the world left her unmotivated to sing happy, optimistic songs. However, Danny White and Mark Riley had begun playing music together again. The pair convinced Baja to join them, and Matt Bianco was reformed. Mark Riley had kept the Matt Bianco band alive for two decades and several albums, partnering with Mark Fisher. Now Matt Bianco would comprise Baja, Danny White, and Mark Riley. The collaboration resulted in the successful album Matt's Mood from 2004, a mix of adult contemporary rhythms, brilliant Brazilian jazz, R&B, and Latin jazz.
Children, yet another chance. Special delivery for one final dance. Prick up your ears, put on your dancing shoes. You've waited long enough, so no time to lose. By now you know that on the true love never dies. Just like mine, take two hearts.
Ronnie Samba from that album, Matt's Mood. The trio embarked on a world tour covering cities in the UK, Japan, and the US. After the tour, Baja and Danny White left the band again to work on a new album under the Baja name. As of June 2007, they were still working on that untitled album. In interviews, Baja has been quick to comment about her being close to her Polish heritage. "Did you ever meet a Polish person who wasn't emotional?" she was quoted by Abrams. "Chopin? The Pope? We start talking about our country or our mothers, and all of a sudden, everyone's crying." She enjoys her success outside of her native country, yet one day she hopes to return to Poland, where she also enjoys a large, popular following. "I miss the passion of Poland," she told Abrams. "If something is wrong, the British won't tell you what it is. I know I'm doing well now, but when I stop someday and I'm old, I will go back to Poland. There's no superficial politeness there. They tell you exactly what they feel." That unfinished album, by the way, back in the 2007 period, now has titled. It's called It's That Girl Again, and this is an iTunes review of Baja's recent album from 2009. It's been 15 years since Baja and her partner and collaborator Danny White issued the criminally underheralded The Sweetest Illusion, her final album for Epic. Since that time, she's popped up on a few instrumental mix albums and as a guest vocalist on Matt Bianco's Matt's Mood. But other than compilations, this wonderfully inventive singer and songwriter of adult contemporary music disappeared from the scene. It's That Girl Again showcases the Polish songstress in a variety of settings over 13 new tracks. A host of crack session players join her core band, including White, her co-writer on most tunes, Mark Riley, guitarist Peter White, and a chorus made up of Baja's family and friends. The set opens with If Not Now, Then When, a clever reintroduction to Baja's sound with a slew of new ideas, including the use of bossa nova rhythms. Guitars and acoustic keyboards permeate the mix, rather than some of the more synthetic 80s and 90s sounds of her earlier records. A Gift is a surprisingly candid tune about taking another's love for granted and becoming aware of the error before it's too late. The languid acoustic and electric guitars, the gently skittering loops and hand percussion all flavor a lyric of uncommon candor. Everybody's on the Move is a true big dance floor modern funk that is ripe for dozens of remixes. In essence, while on some level hers is a sound close to the one that garnered her platinum album sales in decades past, there is plenty that is new here, including much more sophisticated rhythms, a more adventurous use of Latin, jazz, and Brazilian, particularly the latter, styles as they meld seamlessly with their brand of Eastern European pop and a more poetic and focused way of writing lyrics, all wrapped up in that gorgeous voice of hers and in White's arrangements. This is as welcome a comeback record as any we've heard in recent years. In fact, It's That Girl Again goes so far as to make us remember just how much we missed her in the first place. Here then's a snippet from that new album, and the title of this song is There's a Tear.
It all started with a dream. Then it seemed a hopeless scheme. Now I think what could have been. Took my panic for indifference, but how was I supposed to know that one day I will miss you so? I would have fought for you to the end. I would have never let you slip away. Now there's a tear in my eye.
This next article is entitled simply Pop Music. It was published in the News and Observer on the 23rd of January, 2011. With 2009's Proggy the Hazards of Love, the Decemberist leader, Colin McLoy, went all in with his fanciful British folk's fixation, spinning a rock opera about fairy queens and shape-shifting woodsmen that made for an arduous listen. The King is Dead is a welcome pullback that returns to the Portland, Oregon band's collective strengths with 10 concise country-flavored songs marked by memorable melodies that call immediate attention to themselves. Not that The King is Dead, the name of the album, lacks for ambition, though it benefits from being freed of Hazards, the name of the previous album, narrative straitjacket. It's also a song cycle of sorts with pared-down lyrics that fruitfully ruminate on love and war, time and loss, and it does so with the aid of alt-country songstress Gillian Welch, whose voice twins most effectively with McAloy's on 7 songs, and R.E.M. Peter Buck, who contributes chiming guitar on 2 tracks and plucky mandolin on 1.
And it's 1, 2, 3 on the wrong side of Lee. What were you meant for? What were you meant for? And it's 7, 8, 9 you get your shuffle back in line. And if you ever make it to 10, you won't make it again. And if you ever make it to 10, you won't make it again.
Name of the group, the Decemberists. So how'd you do on those trivia questions today? The first question, a multiple choice, the original back album cover of the Wings album, Red Rose Speedway, contained a Braille message to Stevie Wonder that said, A, we love you, baby, B, welcome back, C, you are the sunshine of our lives, or D, all the above. This was Paul and Linda McCartney's band, by the way, which rose to number 1. The answer was only A, we love you, baby. And question number 2, the Chipmunks song by David Seville and the Chipmunks rose all the way to number 1 on the Billboard pop charts back in 1958, where it stayed for 4 weeks. When the song was first introduced a short time earlier on American Bandstand, it A, received a standing ovation, B, received the lowest rating in the history of American Bandstand, or C, rated low because it was hard dance to, well, it was hard dance to, but that wasn't the answer. And certainly not D, all the above. And I played a snippet from that song. The answer, once again, B, received the lowest rating in the history of American Bandstand.
There is a day when the angels blow.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until next time.
That matters today. If only we could live like this every day of the year.